picking up strangers. Let me tell you about the dangers. You never know.
All right, welcome back. Picking up strangers, episode 43. It's been a little while. No, I'm not. Let me look. I'm pretty sure it is. Yeah, 43.
Oh, I'm ahead of myself.
Episode 4.
Wait a minute. You know what? I think I listened to one of the episodes, and it was we did one of the episodes, and we were alpha episode.
Maybe that was like it. Back in 25.
Yeah.
Those were the so you've been off days. This whole time?
Huh?
You've been off this whole time?
No, I go back and listen to some of the... Which I would suggest to anybody that listens to this podcast, listen to some of the other episodes that, you know, might be as entertaining as the episode you're listening to right now.
Well, with that glowing recommendation, I can't imagine how anybody wouldn't do such a thing.
I don't know. You can go, Alexis, play Picking Up Strangers podcast. Boom.
Well, I like how you call her Alexis, even though her name's Alexa. But
Alexis is the one that works in the black community. Like, Alexis! You got Alexa? They like yin and yang, man. Alexa. Okay. Alexa, play Picking Up Strangers podcast.
You can, and since you actually mentioned it, I was kind of looking at some of our stats, and the Alexa app or Alexa-enabled devices has really made a strong move as far as how people are listening to us. Alexa-enabled devices actually took over Apple Podcasts in total, if I'm not mistaken. Let me look real quick. Yeah, 22%. And Amazon Echo, which is who you would say, Alexa, is tied with Apple Podcasts. So people are enjoying the Alexa connectivity. So that's good news.
That's cool.
Besides that, we'll go down a couple things. Congratulations, Friendly Frank. Over 3,000 downloads for the about 1.5 years that we've been doing this.
Has it been that long? One and a half.
We started.
We're going on 2 years. Is that what you're telling? No.
Yeah. We started in April a year ago. Not this past April, but the April past that. So.
Wait a minute. In
8 months.
Yeah. Wow. I was thinking we started just in April.
A year and 8 months, and people are still listening to you. Try to yell
at me. Listen to us, man. Why are you trying to put it all on me?
Well, because if it ever goes to the books, I want it to be known who's in charge of this.
Oh, really? That's why everything's in your name.
Nothing's in my name.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Uh-uh.
They'll be able to trace it all back to you.
Uh-huh. I'll tell them. Yep. Look who paid for advertising. Look who paid for advertising. He made me put it in my email.
Once.
He made me put it in my email. He
said, I saved my emails. I got all the connections with you, buddy. I'll sing like a songbird.
Well, I don't even know where to start.
You know what? Also, before I forget, it's December 1st.
It is December 1st.
When was the last episode?
Last episode was right before, if I'm not mistaken,
the election.
The election. So it's been almost, it'll be 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. Well, also, just before I forget, December 1st.
Actually, no, it's been absolutely a month. It was November 2nd when we posted this episode.
December 1st. For people to remember that December 1st is Richard Pryor's birthday.
Happy birthday, Rich.
Yeah. Very influential. Very, very big part of why I did what I did. I just, him and, like I said, Bill Cosby, my two biggest influences in comedy.
Yet you wear Jimi Hendrix on your shirt.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
that's because, see,
could have done better there, I guess.
It's a different level of genius, man. There's only one Jimi Hendrix. If you hear somebody play a guitar and they sound real good and they sound real funky, you'd be like, sounds like Jimi Hendrix. Okay. If you hear a comedian and he sounds real funny and he does the mannerisms and stuff like that, and people pick up on a comedian's influences, and just like Richard Pryor, there's only one Richard Pryor. If you've seen somebody acting like Robin Williams, Robin Williams pops in your head. So you see, these are all individuals that stand out in their own rank and their own being.
Thank you for clarifying that. Did you get high before this episode?
Maybe a little bit. Maybe just a little bit.
Is the anxiety of working with me that intense? That you know all the senses?
No. Save yourself that pat on the back.
How's that a pat on the back?
I just need to take some sandpaper and round off the edges.
Well, a lot has happened since we last spoke. Like I said, it was almost exactly a month ago. Well, by the time this goes up, it will have been over a month ago. Mm-hmm. We had did our voting episode. Thanksgiving's happened. We officially, I think, not sure completely, but I'm pretty sure it's officially have a new president-elect. You know, there was that whole circus that happened during that I think is continuing to happen in small doses now, not so many, not so much large doses as before.
Sure, it's happening in large doses. Even though Republican governors who have to sign off on, you know, the certification are now being demonized because they had to admit, hey, we did a recount. There was no fraud, and Biden won.
Right.
And now these people and their families are getting death threats. The governor in Arizona, the one in Georgia, all because they stuck to the rules. The rule is you count, you recount, and whatever it comes up with, but that doesn't matter. The truth I realize, and I listened to one of the episodes, I was far short of how many people I thought just in it for themselves. And when you look at the numbers, the election had over 70 million people that still voted for Trump, still thinks he's a great guy. I mean, I can understand if you say, oh, I never vote Democratic. But, I mean, even what's happened recently with him not wanting to believe that he lost. And he lost by a larger margin than he won in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And people, and like I said, I guess you might consider what's going on right now part of his plan B. He's not going to just disappear.
I think people still give him too much credit, you included. I think that the amount of votes that he received, yes, is a significant amount, but I don't believe it was I believe a significant amount of those weren't necessarily "I love this guy" or anything else. I think it was, I think in a lot of people's minds, it was a it was a vote for a bunch of different battles, not just the president, but for whatever they think about coronavirus, for whatever they think about, you know, economy shutdowns. It was now, and it's spawned off by things that he said and his team has said, and that's fine. But I don't think it's full-on hardcore Trump supporters. And I think everybody's got this, is giving him all this credit that he doesn't deserve.
No, no.
Yeah.
The numbers, hey, look, you can pretend all you want to.
That's not a pretend.
There's a Congress, all the Republicans in Washington, D.C., there might be not even 1% of them that spoke up and was like, hey, Biden is the president-elect. They wouldn't even say president-elect.
But they also weren't saying that, oh, no, Trump definitely win. You saw a lot of silence. What silence means is we're just going to let this go. We're just going to let this go. We know what the truth is. That's fine. But at this point in time, we're just going to let him say what he needs to say, do what he needs to do, and when it comes down to it, then it goes.
And that's what the voters chose for you to do. That's how you use the power of your position to just go along, to get along. Is that it?
There's a lot of people who do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of Congress that does it. Look, if everybody stood hard on their marks, nothing would get done just as long, just like it was shown. Everyone for the last 4 years has stood hard on their mark. So nothing gets done. So sometimes, yeah, you gotta get along. And sometimes you gotta do a favor to get a favor. And it might not be something that you're super passionate about or that is, you know, even really in line with the way that you think and feel. But if you're thinking down the road and you're thinking chess and you go, I need 5 moves ahead, then yeah, okay, I'll make this concession, and you're going to remember that I made this concession, because when I want something in 5 moves from now, you're going to give it to me. You need me for this, I gotcha. And this is basically the game of politics. But when I need something, you know, it's the Godfather all over again. Yeah, I'm going to do you this favor, but there's going to come a day when I come and ask you to do something for me, and there's no way that you can say no. So what are they going to do? Sit there and stand there and shout at the rooftops that, you know, I feel like it's a logical thing, like the dude lost. Okay, go ahead. Pay for him. Make sure he pays for it. But go ahead and recount it. Sure. If you think you honestly got swindled, you got the right to go ahead and ask for a recount. Do it. And do it as many times as you want to pay for it. But the
he's using money that he's supposed to have a defense fund for the votes.
Mm-hmm.
Put some money aside.
Well, his campaign paid for it.
Election money to help put forth these lawsuits.
Sure, right. Everybody who donated money is paying for all these lawsuits.
Yeah.
Which is great. Go ahead, waste their money.
Yeah.
Let them see how you're wasting their money. Again, it's exposure, in my opinion. In 4 years from now, they're going to have somebody else that they're going to want to put in play. Nobody in that city of Washington, D.C. wants that man back. He's drawn too much attention to their flaws. He's drawn too much attention to the nonsense that people can get away with. I'm telling you, these people liked their lives the way it used to be. Nobody bugged them. All they had to do was make sure every few years they said whatever they needed to say to get reelected. And now they got a bunch of fucking people asking questions, wondering what's going on, really looking at the rules, really looking at all the different things that they're actually voting on. That's not what they wanted ever. I can guarantee you that. It's like having cooked books and being under the radar, and then some fucking new intern comes in and says, hey, I found these mistakes here. I went ahead and already notified the authorities. They're going to pop in and check it out. I'm like, what the fuck? No. We had a good thing going here. So I doubt.
I like how your comparisons all are illegal activity. You use The Godfather. You use that. I mean, it doesn't have to be, you know, I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine.
Well, how else could it be then? Because at that point, only one person is scratching the other person's back.
And it's who you're dealing with. Can you trust the people that you're dealing with? That's the other thing.
That comes to the point where I've done a favor for you. When I ask for a favor, I expect it back. If you burn me, guess what? We don't work together no more.
But okay.
But it's not a neighbor giving somebody a cup of sugar, and that's just, oh, don't worry about it. It's no, okay, I see what you're saying. This really doesn't affect me or the people who voted for me that much. Chances are they'll never even know what even happened or I even voted for it. But when I want this other stuff done, and look, this is not my brain coming up with all these wonderful ideas. I was fucking watching, did you ever see Charlie Wilson's War? Tom Hanks, Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of how it explains how people get stuff done is it's just, the basis is he's a senator where none of his constituents want anything. The only thing he has to do is get reelected every year. And what the line he says is, I get to vote yes a lot because my people don't want shit. They don't need shit. They don't ask for shit. The shit that they ask for, I get it for them. Besides that, I'm a vote that could be used. Should you want to be in my indebtedness, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And that's essentially, according to the movie, how we funded the entire Afghan-Russian war. From like 5 billion to almost, or 500,000 or 5 million to almost 10 billion or $100 billion, something crazy like that. And it's, I mean, the system is designed...
And you have people in this country that don't have health care. Some of the other nations that don't even gross the amount of wealth that we do, and they seem to be able to provide all of their people health care. And you think, wow. Well, did we need all those bombers?
Well, what I think on this one is it's two different things. It's not necessarily if or then. What it is if you start looking back and getting into it, it started off as economics, right? Medicines are going to boom. So we need to build jobs and we're going to create these companies and create jobs, and we're going to start becoming a leader in medicines and pharmaceuticals, and then it gets so successful and so big it becomes a buying power, and now, you know, it's another thing like banking. It's too big to fail. You can't kill Wells Fargo, you can't kill Bank of America. You got to keep them going, so you kind of let them do what they want to do. I mean, the way to get healthcare with everybody is to start limiting the free market.
We let them do what they want to do. That's
how can you
problem.
Stop them at this point? You let them get too big, basically. You let the animal get too big.
Well,
you
know
can't
what?
Control it.
They're, Ma Bell, there used to be one phone company. They broke that shit up. So the same thing could be done to some of these corporations that are too big, and that includes Facebook and anybody else that's trying to run a monopoly.
You can't say that they're running a monopoly, though. They have equal representation in competition.
Who does? Does Amazon?
A lot of these.
Does Amazon have equal?
How would you qualify Amazon as a company, though? That's what I would ask you, because it's a marketplace. It's not necessarily a company. It's a marketplace that's given other companies the ability to distribute their products. Their logistics, basically. There's not very many Amazon products. They're just a logistics company moving things back and forth that got there somehow from being a bookstore.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
right?
It's
and then they entered
the great American story.
even entertainment. They're still just transporting the entertainment. They didn't create the entertainment. They didn't create you know, the music, but they figured out a way to become an intermediary to save the end user money, still give access or still give exposure as well as compensation to whomever's selling whatever product it could be, whether it's some sort of entertainment or if it's a legitimate product. You know, you got individuals. You got somebody like you or I. We could sit here and we could sell. At one point in time, I was considering selling eyelashes because I had a conversation with a guy on a train who was making six figures selling eyelashes. And it was like a drop ship or a Amazon type of scenario where you order the product from China, you ship it through Amazon, you have no inventory, you have no storage, because it all goes to the warehouse and ships right out of there, and you pay Amazon a fee for that service. Just like you would if it was night transit or something, and you're, you know, shipping your containers from your warehouse to your stores. They're just doing it digitally. So how do you classify Amazon as a company when it's just doing logistics? And if you consider it logistics, you can point at any number of logistics companies out there. Maybe not digital, but still logistics companies.
Mm-hmm. Maybe so.
You know, you can't run into a capitalist society and say, no, you guys are doing too good. We're going to have to fucking stop this right now.
They've done that.
No, they've done it when people have done stuff illegally.
No.
When you actively... Yeah.
When there was just one phone company... They weren't doing anything illegally. That's with finger quotes.
Well, not necessarily, except for blocking other companies from trying to compete with them. That's illegal. Because you're good at what you're doing and people can't
buy them out. Or you just buy them out. And you get so big that no one can compete against you.
But at some point in time, when you go to buy something, the government does step in and have to make a decision on whether or not it's a legal purchase. Just like when Uber and Lyft try to meld at one point in time. Or even a better example is XM and Sirius. There's no other satellite providers out there. There's really only one. And it's XM, Sirius, and Pandora now. Right? But they had to go through some sort of, I don't know what, to make sure that was approvable. And I think it's because people don't have the infrastructure. There's no other company with the infrastructure to be able to do it. They have their own satellites and shit out there. Again, I'm not an expert on fucking free market, but I see something wrong with the inherent thing is you are doing too good. We have to stop you. I have a problem with that. If you're playing it by the book and you're doing it, hey, you can even be playing it on the edge.
Okay. You're
playing it on
the
edge.
Wait. That's
and it's
the problem.
Still on the and it's still
by
on
the
right
book
side
is okay.
Of the edge. On the edge is still there's a side of the edge that's still on the right side, and there's a side of the edge that's on the wrong side. As long as you're riding that right side of the edge, I don't have a problem with that.
Well, I know you don't.
Why would you punish someone for being excellent at what they do? That doesn't make any sense.
I ain't say. Punish somebody for being excellent.
Well, if you want to break them up because they're really good at what they do, it's kind of the same thing.
I'm telling you. Just like Amazon, they bought and they kept buying up, just like Google. Anything that someone came up good with, Google took a look at it, and because they were so big, they offered them a bunch of money, boom, gone, done. And then it's almost like the Borg from Star Trek, The Next Generation. Then they get assimilated into the Google system. It's just like
Waze is
owned by Google. There's a Google Maps that a lot of people use. And a lot of the things that when I was driving Uber and Lyft, those maps, Waze was good. Everybody said it was good. They took what was good about Waze and they put it onto Google Maps. There is no Waze company anymore because Google bought them out like 5 or 6 years ago. And they've been integrating, you know, their technology, so their graphics and like that. So, I mean, that's the thing. People can be bought out, just boom.
But a lot of people develop companies to be bought out. That's their ultimate goal. I need to make something good enough so that somebody bigger will buy it, and then I can go start something else and try something else new. Here's where I would see that be a problem. If Google saw Waze and thought, that's the shit, we want that. Here's what I'm going to need you guys to do. I need you guys to develop something that looks exactly like this. We're going to call it Laze. And we're going to broadband this out to everybody who uses Google. And we're going to sync Waze. Now those people who developed Waze are out of business.
No, bankrupt.
They don't have any money or any compensation for their product.
They basically got ripped off. The thing is, they don't have the technology. There were things that Waze had that made them better than Google Maps. Like, they could real time. I mean, it was genius. It was almost like, you know, your
it's a social media.
Yeah.
It's a social media. So everybody on the app is reporting where they're at and how fast they're moving.
Yeah.
That's how they
can. And if they see a mattress in the road or if they see a police car.
Right. So I'm sure they factored that in when they calculated their price. There's a price for intellectual property.
Well, my point is Google couldn't do that.
They probably could have. I bet you they could have, but there's probably patents in the way and all sorts of other stuff.
Yeah, so we buy them out.
Right.
And whoever the head guy is, he's like, oh, shit, hell yeah, boom. You going to give me $400 million for my business? Thanks.
What is wrong with that?
Nothing at all until you, that employee that used to work for them, and now we're cutting back because we're integrating our systems, so we won't need as many people. I mean, you know, there's a downside to it, too.
That's the difference between being a business owner and taking the risk of being a business owner, because the reward can be significant, versus being an employee. With it being an employee, your risk is very minimal. If you're becoming a business owner, especially something like that, I guarantee there's a significant amount of money invested. There's probably mortgages taken out and everything else on the hopes that their technology was going to be a winner. And I would say, what, 95, maybe more than that, of technology companies or startups aren't ever seen through or never make fruition or just go bankrupt. So, you know, I'm not going to make the owner of that company, of Waze, a martyr because they sold their company and Johnny on the janitorial team got kicked out, or Sarah on the programming team doesn't have a job anymore because that position's already being filled by a Google employee. That's the risk you take being an employee, whereas the risk you take being an owner of a company is significantly higher financially.
Well, and you also have more mechanisms to keep you afloat if you make an X amount of money. The government will step in. They have programs and stuff where, you know, you can survive. Maybe you don't pay no taxes. Maybe you don't pay no income taxes. You know, that money that you're talking about, I mean, maybe you make a couple of billion dollars and you don't pay any taxes. I don't see that being right. Some people think because you're a business and you take those risks, that's one of your rewards, that, you know, hey, you can put it offshore or we can fix it so that you don't pay on that $1 billion.
Well, the different tax laws that are in place, you know, that's a whole different conversation, and it varies between the size of the companies and even the certain laws in the country. You know, if you're allowed to take your business, and I can't remember the example, but I think Ireland was like a safe haven. You could take your headquarters and make it in Ireland, and you're technically an offshore company and don't pay taxes, even though your entire business is here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those kind of rules
are... Those are the people that are on the edge. There's the right way, and then there's the way that's on the edge. That's what you...
That's not even on the edge. That's just in the rules.
Well, that's just on the edge because you know damn good and well, and then you'll fly the flag and call yourself a great American because you found a loophole so you don't have to pay taxes.
They're not even loopholes. They're blatant.
Yeah, okay.
They're blatant laws.
Right.
So it's not that you're finding a loophole.
Who profits from that? Not the social programs. I mean, all that money offshore should be money being taken care of things like mental illness, taking care of the proper training of police officers. I mean, all that could be put into the community to make it better. But
I'm not saying that they shouldn't be paying taxes. However, look, if you were sitting in your house right now and you got a notice that said, here's the deal. You can pay rent or you cannot pay rent. It's up to you. That's it. What are you going to choose?
What are you talking about?
If you got a note in the mail, okay? Or you got a note from let's just say your bank is B of A. It says, here's the deal. We've had a policy change, Frank. And from this point on, I'm from a different generation. From this point on, you can either pay your mortgage or not pay your mortgage. We actually don't even consider it a mortgage anymore. So you can either pay it or not pay it. It's up to you. There's no benefit to paying it. There's no benefit to not paying it. It's in our new rules. We can't make you pay your mortgage payment anymore. It's part of our rules. So it's up to you. Whatever you want to do. What's your option? Or what's your choice?
That is so far-fetched.
That's exactly what it is,
though. You can have your
business here, and this is how much it's going to cost your bottom line. But, I mean, you technically could have your business over there, and it's not going to hit your bottom line at all. It's not far-fetched. It's just a different scale. You're scaling it from one person's one bill being their mortgage versus a company's bill being their tax bill at the end of the year. One way or another, it still affects your bottom line.
Wait a minute. So if I don't pay the rent, I'm still paying my taxes. That's the difference.
No, they're two. You're changing. You're changing the conversation.
Yeah, you are too.
No, I'm not. I'm making a comparison.
Your comparison isn't correct because
it is.
I'm not. I'm still. And number one, I'm not going to believe that shit because you ain't going to trick me into thinking that I can live somewhere for free.
You're not changing the game. The game is this. Those are facts. That's the real story. Or if you want to just make it taxes. Guess what, Frank? From this point forward, we're not taking any taxes out of your check.
You know what I would be like? Why not?
Because those are the rules. That's why.
Those are the new rules. Like I said, I'm different than you.
If those are the new rules, how does that make you different?
Because here's the thing. Right now, unemployment, I make sure that they take taxes out of my unemployment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people would say, hey, you want to get as much money up front as possible and then worry about the tax bill in April.
Okay.
It took me a while to get to the point where it's like, no, I'm not going to take that chance. I'll take the hit now and I'll know when April comes, then I'll be okay. I won't owe any money. I won't have any surprises.
But let's change the world for 1 second and say...
You always make it into a make-believe world. I like to use real shit.
Well, I'm trying to make it real shit so that it's a comparison. So that you will give an honest answer and what your decision would be. The government says, Frank, no more taxes out of your check from this point forward. Do you still pay taxes? And there's no repercussions for not paying. We're not going to ask you for them later, Frank. You don't owe tax anymore. Let's say you saved an orphanage from burning. And as a reward, they said, Frank, because of your act of heroism, you no longer have to pay taxes. You've paid your debt to the society. Thank you very much. We want you to accept this gift.
How many orphans were there?
522.
Yeah. I don't need to pay no taxes no more.
So that's my point. If the rule changes.
No, wait a minute. I saved 522 little kids, man.
Okay.
And you want to reward me for doing that, right?
Sure.
I didn't ask you to.
No, we just changed the rule. That normally, if you save 522 orphans, you just do that because that's the right thing.
The rules are right now.
We decided to rewrite the rule for you and say you don't have to pay taxes. Uh-huh. The answer is no. You're not going to pay the taxes.
The way the rules are now, if you work at McDonald's, if you work at 7-Eleven or Quick Trip or any minimum wage job, there's a good chance you're going to pay taxes.
Sure.
The rules say.
If you make X amount of dollars,
the rules are made that way for a reason. That's why people hold on to the wealth that they have, because people before them set up laws and set up loopholes so that, maybe they didn't set up the loopholes. They set up laws so that they could hold on to money. There are people that figure out the loopholes in those plans in order to profit. My point is, it's just like, it was something on Facebook and they were saying, If Biden wins, taxes are going up. I don't want to pay taxes. You know, all these people that consider themselves, patriots, hate paying taxes. Well, they try to pay the least amount. They try to find every way that they possibly can, so they pay the least amount of money for the maximum amount of service. If your house catches on fire, I live in a neighborhood, that fire truck will be here in maybe 2 minutes. That's where my tax money goes. Those kids, I ain't got no kids, but you know what? Nobody's robbing my house. Maybe that's because the kids in my neighborhood all have good schools to go to. And they have futures to look forward to. Maybe that's what my taxes do. Some people complain, well, I don't have kids. Why I pay for that? Hey, you still got your car radio, right? See, there's no desperation. And all of that, part of that is due to the fact that you pay taxes. If someone robs your house, you as a taxpayer have a police officer that comes out and files a report, and they do an investigation to try to find who did that. That's what your taxes pay for. You're paying for those services. So, what if people should be mad at is how they use that money and how much that money goes to the administrators. People that are just sitting on boards, that aren't actually in the trenches doing the work. That's what I'm more concerned about. I don't care, and I'll say this, and it'll sound crazy. I don't mind paying more for taxes as long as I see my tax dollars working for me.
Well, that's where you and I will absolutely agree, is that I think the people who don't want to pay taxes. Okay, look, number one, everybody knows about the fire department, the police, everything else. I did like the point you made that your car's not, you don't have any kids, but your car's not getting broken into because the kids in your neighborhood, you know, have after school programs or whatever else, and that's what your taxes go to as well. I think that's a good point for people to think about and listen to. But I think the people who are anti-taxes, who are anti-paying more taxes or having increased tax, is because there's no audit to the process. Okay? And a lot of those bills and stuff that we were voting on this year, there's a lot of tax increase for things that, you know, they took a tax increase for beforehand. Well, my question is, you know, who's really keeping, who's doing the books? Who's keeping an eye on the budget? Who's making sure that, you know, you took a bid from Acme Construction Company to fix the 57 freeway between January of 2019 to January of 2021, but they didn't get it completed in time? Why are we paying them more money? They took a job on a bid to be done by X amount of time. There shouldn't be any more money needed for that. There should be some other concession that they're paying the taxpayers back for taking longer than it is and disrupting their roads. That's just an example. But, you know, in talking to you as I was giving you your hypothetical Save the Orphan routine, I almost thought you were going to take the approach of, no, I wouldn't pay my taxes, but I would take that tax money, put it away somewhere, and pay for the services that I think are lacking. I think people would be more comfortable with that, you know, or at least responsible people. There's going to be definitely people who just game the system, and that's probably why there isn't established taxes, so the majority of the people can't game the system, but you know, it's the laws themselves that probably need to be changed more than anything else. And again, I think that this last 4 years, this last year in particular, has really drawn a spotlight on some of these problems that a lot of people either didn't know about, didn't care about, were ignorant to, just pushed to the side. You know, I think a lot of people kind of woke up and just decided, oh, shit, I guess I'm going to have to pay attention. I know at least I did. You know, at least that's something I can say true. That's for me.
Thank God.
I don't like it. It's exhausting because all that is upsetting. Yeah. Make me to the point feel, like, why?
I feel like we have more in common now because you are actually, you're thinking it out. You're not just running with the herd. You know, the herd mentality, herd immunity, that shit don't work. It works if you're in a herd, and people aren't considered a herd.
Right.
And, you know, that's what's so crazy. I mean, you got people right now that still don't believe. I think I talked about it last time. I'm not sure. But they were interviewing this nurse. And this nurse was getting cussed out by a coronavirus patient that was real sick and was telling the nurse that this was all a fraud, that there's no such thing as the coronavirus. Now, you might think that maybe they were delirious because of fever and like that, but it was... it was more than, I don't know, it's just, it, like you said, it's exhausting. When you take a step back and you look at it and you try to make sense out of it. You know, it's just like, you know, right now the numbers of the coronavirus are higher now than they've ever been since the virus started. North Dakota, South Dakota have the highest rate of coronavirus in the world, on the planet. You know, some people talk about these shithole countries. Well, some of those shithole countries are doing a lot better at managing the virus than we are in some of these states. And something as simple as wearing a mask to prevent it, something as simple as social distancing. I mean, it's not like, you know, World War II that people collected cans and metal and they had to go up and down the block and find stuff, you know, so that they could make tanks and materials for the war, and people had to walk and they had to sweat and dig through stuff. And I mean, there were all kinds of people doing volunteer jobs for that effort. But all you got to do is stay 6 feet away. Don't get in any groups larger than 10. I mean, I said it on that podcast. I said, you wait and you see that big old, I think they said it was Sturgis was over 400,000 people. Maybe that's the reason why that area is so high. I don't know. I mean, we had a lot of marches. The difference is that you look at the different marches, you see some people in the march, the majority of them wore masks. And in the other group, hardly wore any mask. And it's just crazy to think that all the lives that could have been saved, because we're still, the numbers are still going up.
Right.
And unemployment is going up. You know, nobody wants to shut down these businesses, and I believe that there's a way that you can surgically, if it's this area, you need to have an outline of, okay, because we didn't follow the rules to begin with. You know, we said that, hey, we'll keep it shut down until we reach these levels, and once we reach these levels, then we'll open things up. We couldn't even hold to that. There's still governors fighting to make sure their people don't have to wear a mask, because you're going to infringe on their freedoms. It's crazy, man. I mean, I missed, you know, not being able to be with extended family for Thanksgiving. I miss that, but I'm okay with the fact that I know that I didn't contribute to anybody getting you know, the coronavirus. And you know, people think, well, you get it, some of these people are having long-term effects, man. Joints aching, shortness of breath, they don't have the same lung capacity, air capacity. Afterwards, they feel lethargic and like that. And it just don't go away. But, you know, it hasn't been around long enough for us to figure it all out. But it upsets me to know that something as simple as, you know, wearing a mask, could say.
Well, I think it goes again back to, like, in the very beginning, right? So everybody was cool with lockdown.
the very beginning. Everyone's like, all right, fine. We'll go into lockdown. It's going to be a couple weeks. Even when it started extending into more than a couple weeks, and this is going to be a long-term thing. As soon as the instant that they let up on it just a little bit, everybody went back to normal, right?
No, not everybody. Not everybody. Well,
a good majority of people did.
There's some people, well, there's some people more than others that did. And so, those are the,
and I feel like
the uneducated or the ones that only think about themselves.
Well, I think there is also a group in there that was educated to a point that at that point in time, it was still a really gnarly thing for older people. It wasn't that gnarly for anybody else. It was gnarly for people who were older.
That was in the very beginning.
Well, in the very, very beginning, they let up. That was still the case even then. Even when they started lightening up on the lockdown, it was still thought that younger people really aren't that affected by this. Well, and I think because, the same thing.
And that's the thing. That's because it was so new with the information that we had.
Again, I'm not defending.
I know. That was the conclusion that we came to. But
what I'm saying is that now that they are releasing all the news that a vaccine's happening tomorrow or it's right around the corner or Pfizer's been approved, they're doing for emergency, I think people think, oh, no big deal. If I get it, I'll just get the vaccine and no big deal. I don't think they realize they're not getting the vaccine until the middle of next year still.
Well,
you got your medical personnel, you got your essential personnel who are going to have first priority, and then the rest of us are going to be, you know, when it comes around, which will probably be the middle of next year, which just about all the medical professionals are saying, but with the news toting, oh, Pfizer's been approved, I think people kind of are like, okay, finally, all right.
Okay, but that doesn't explain what people were doing before the vaccine. They said we have a cure for the vaccine. The airlines broke records with airplane travel.
For this Thanksgiving, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And you're going to see, I don't want to be right, but I was right about the big North Dakota, the big Sturgis, that was going to be a big blowout. The numbers keep going up. I think, if I'm not sure, aren't we up to 2,000 lives a day now?
I don't know. I don't know. I've taken a break from the news for a little while.
Well,
I heard some of it today, and they said that, you know, if you did... if you traveled over Thanksgiving, just consider the fact that you have coronavirus. That's it. Just a blanket statement that just said, if you traveled, if you're on a plane, just concede to the fact that you have it. So, I mean, that's kind of where most people are at, and it's kind of what they were saying even at the beginning, you know, before the holidays happened.
They were begging people not to do it. Don't do it, folks. Please. Please, we don't want to close shit down. We don't want you to lose your business. But damn,
that's the thing is that the same people who bitch and complain about a possible another shutdown are businesses who would allow people to be in their place without masks.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's hard to have sympathy at times.
And why? Well, see, there's where we're different. Because I have as much sympathy for the ignorant. Well, no. Okay.
No, you don't. Don't sit here and lie on this show.
I'm not lying. I caught myself before so that I could be more clear. For the people that are uninformed, the people that just don't know any better, I feel sorry for those people.
Well,
the people I don't feel sorry for are the people that are smarter than that. There's a lot of senators and congressmen that are smarter than what they're letting on to. And because they're afraid that Big Bad Trump's going to tweet about them, they keep their mouth shut. How many people in just his general area got the coronavirus, and everybody was like, you know, they had their meetings, no masks, no social distancing. They did the rallies. You know, you look in the rallies, they always had people behind them that had masks on. But you look at the crowd, man, and them people were shoulder to shoulder, man, just a yelling and a breathing in the germy germs, and then they go all, and then they spread out. They weren't all just from, you know, they went to, say, Harris, say they went to Irvine. Trump's going to be in Irvine. People come from San Diego, San Bernardino. They come from all those places to get together to enjoy a day with Trump. And then what happens afterwards? They disperse and they go back out. And, I mean, if it was a villain in a comic book, they couldn't have planned it. You couldn't have planned it any better. Because you use people's own ignorance to keep infecting. I mean, it's like we're in a bad sci-fi movie. It's like, and you know, and I've been guilty of thinking that, ooh, I'll be glad when 2020 is over. Man, I don't know what's going to happen next now. I don't know. I mean, I still want to be hopeful. I know that, you know, if everything goes the way it's supposed to go, you know, we're going to have a female vice president. We're going to have a president that doesn't tweet probably as much as the current one does. But, I mean, there's a lot of chaos that will subside to a certain extent once the new administration comes in. I think that it would be nice not to turn on the news and it's all about what's happening in Washington, D.C. I mean, it's just like the guy that works on spines, the spinal doctor that he used to, you know, that was the president's top.
That was pumping the herd,
yeah.
The herd immunity.
Yeah, yeah. They got rid of him. I don't know why, but he's gone now. He's gone. And I think, you know, that guy, he took a Hippocratic oath to do no harm. And I don't know.
Oh, no, he's an orthopedic surgeon, right?
Yeah.
I keep thinking he's a chiropractor.
Yeah. So he has gone against the oath that he has taken because of the president. The president picked him because he liked what that man was saying. He was like, well, shit, I don't have
or
to do.
Did that man start saying what he knew the president wanted to hear? You can't just claim that he's an innocent in this. Sorry.
Oh, no. I know he's not innocent.
He wasn't taken advantage of by the big, bad Trump. I think he was spouting off at the rooftops, hoping that Trump heard him. He did.
Yeah.
And then he got his, then he got his 15-minute infamous
fame. That's the edge. That's the edge. What he did wasn't illegal, but it was surely unethical. You can't put him in jail for... like, oh, shit, I can get a job with Trump. All I got to do is talk some shit that he'll like. And the fact that, you know, hey, herd immunity, you don't have to spend no money on herd immunity. You got to pay some money for vaccines and the development and like that and the storage now, you know, for...
Well,
for
but it's also not. It's also not like herd immunity is not a valid theory for some things. Obviously, it's not valid theory for this one, but I mean, it is. It's like, you know, chicken pox parties. All right, your cousin's got chicken pox. You guys are going to stay over at your cousin's house for the weekend. Mm-hmm. And you get chicken pox, and then it's over with. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like it's a whack job theory. It's actually used in some cases.
Well, the percentage of people dying from chickenpox is a lot smaller than
I don't disagree with that. I'm not saying that it was the right choice. I'm just saying it's not so
percentage-wise. The percentage-wise, you know, yeah, okay, you might get some scratches and bumps and feel discomfortable for, you know, X amount of time, but you're not going to, the chances of you dying are very slim at a chicken pox party.
Here's what I would say, or here's something that I noticed, is that a lot of people took me into consideration when voting for, what was that, Prop 22? Which I didn't realize so many people corresponded me to Uber or Lyft. But I've spoken to quite a few people since, you know, Election Day. So, yeah, when I was voting for that, I was thinking of you and blah, 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 blah. And I just thought, oh, that's interesting that that's how you would think and that I'm that recognizable with Uber and Lyft. So I'm pretty sure they should start sponsoring me somehow, or us even, so that we can continue to spread the word on the good old rideshare drivers.
Well, it won.
I don't even know which one of those won. I never followed up with it. I voted on it. That was it.
I know. Sad. It means that everything stays the same.
I don't know. Does it?
No. That's what. Yes. It means that, yes, we are still
No, I know that about 22. I'm talking about all the rest of the fucking things.
Oh. That's like what? About.
Oh, any of them. Like I said, I never followed up on any of them. I made my votes on them all. I did my research. I made my votes. And that was it.
All I know is, man,
feel like I did my part this year and I can feel good about it.
Yeah, your voting improved quite a bit. You can feel good. I mean, you can feel good about, I don't think Biden will do a bad job.
I don't think he's gonna do a bad job, but again, he's still a politician. You know, I think he's doing some interesting things. I think he's doing some interesting things with the people that he's, you know, putting up for the cabinet and stuff like that. However, I risk saying this, but I almost feel like he's diversifying just for the sake of diversifying. I hope they're really still looking at it and being like, this is the best person for the job, not, shit, we got too many dudes, let's get some ladies in. Okay, we got let's get some brown and black dudes in there.
No, but if you look at the people and what they've done, then you know that he's picking somebody that's qualified.
Okay,
he's not picking somebody because
I understand that.
Because
what I
want to like,
know is that they're
the best
qualified.
He's not picking them because they just like Joe Biden.
That's fine. I get that part. But what I want, what I'm hoping is happening, is that they're picking the person who's best for the job.
Yeah.
Not just, okay, well, you know,
see,
Sarah's qualified, and so is George. George is more qualified, but we need some more women on the staff, so let's go with Sarah. Do you know what I mean? I hope that's not part of the decision process.
Wow.
I hope that it's just, this is the best person from the job. Period.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I hope.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it is or if it isn't.
And the way the current administration goes, do you think they follow?
I'm not looking backwards. Well, I'm looking forward.
Oh no! Exactly. That's you put it in its proper perspective. I'm not looking backwards. I'm looking forwards.
You keep looking backwards, you're just going to end up walking into a wall at some point.
No.
Yeah.
Because I got good sense. See, you might
I know,
walk into
I know
a
you
wall.
Keep, I know you,
you
keep saying
might walk
that.
Into a wall.
No, you keep saying that.
You might walk into a wall. I won't walk into a wall.
The silliness in that statement is fun.
You would walk into a wall. It would be there, and it's like, hey, I can't go through
this. I wouldn't, because I don't constantly look behind. I look forward.
Uh-huh. And you trip over your own feet.
Sometimes my dick, but never my feet.
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay.
Oof. I usually have to be crawling.
Uh-huh, yeah. Belly on the ground. I guess.
Well, how was your Thanksgiving? Just stay at home?
Yeah, stay at home. Chill with the wife or brother. And then,
did you guys eat?
This sounds, yeah, we ate Thanksgiving. It was good. But we, and this is quite amazing. We zoomed back home at what started as maybe, you know, 8 people turned into like over, I think over 20 people.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Everybody, you know, it was like, once they heard, it was like, oh, I want it. Oh, so there were people from Texas and Georgia and Missouri and all, I mean, Vegas, all over, man. And hadn't seen some of my family in years. And it was really cool. I mean, and what was crazy was a lot of the older people figured that Zoom shit out.
Well, that's not very nice. First of all, you're one of the older
people. Wait a minute. What I'm going to say is they adjusted and got on there and knew how to work it better than we did the podcast.
Well, that's not true, because I know how to work the podcast really well.
No, not in the beginning you didn't. The sound levels, no. And people, all you have to do is listen to the beginning and you'll know that.
No, you didn't know how to work it before. I knew how to work it just fine.
Mm-hmm.
But that's good. I'm glad you guys should have recorded it and submitted it to Zoom. You could have been a Zoom commercial.
Nah. Uh-uh.
What do you mean, nah? Uh-uh.
Because some moments are just the moment. That's that moment. I mean,
and that's what makes great commercials, is a moment that's just a moment.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't want our moment commercialized. I watch too much TV and hear way too many really good songs that turn into mattress commercials or fucking diarrhea pills and shit. I'm like, man, that was a good song, and now there's some lady rolling down the street have you seen that commercial?
Yeah, I have.
And what's the song?
Lovely Day, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
By Bill Withers.
Beautiful song. Beautiful song.
Yeah.
And now, every time I hear that song, I think about a white lady rolling down the street. And...
Well, that sounds like a you problem.
No!
What do you mean, no?
You associate... Before you
no, you associate. You let that commercial take over and rewrite whatever memory you had of that song prior to.
Because they play that fucking commercial every fucking day.
Stop watching so much TV.
20 times a day. You don't even have to watch.
If you're
that
seeing
much
the TV. Same commercial 20 times a day, you're watching too much TV,
no.
Or you're watching
what
too
I'm
much
watching
the same
is
channel.
What I'm watching is a
nope,
commercial campaign.
You're busted.
They put it on everything, dude.
Busted. Watching too much of the same channel.
No, it's on all the channels. I'm telling you, the people that are listening know exactly what I'm talking about.
No, they're with me on this one.
No.
You're
no.
crazy.
No, I'm not crazy.
You
I'm
are.
I'm tired of seeing that little lady roll down the street. She looks like she's having fun, but, I mean, how could you have fun? She must be in San Francisco. It's a big old hill that she's rolling down, and she gets tangled up, and everybody's waving at her like, yep, that's just her rolling down the street again. And it's a lovely day. How could it be a lovely day rolling down the street? But she's smiling. She looks so happy doing it. I don't know.
Your in-depth analysis of one commercial worries me about you a lot.
Oh, man. It does. Ask me about another commercial.
No, I don't want to. Because I don't want to have to call the authorities.
Man.
To come get you and take you for evaluation.
They ain't gonna come crazy. Get me. They ain't coming to get me.
Yes, they will.
No, they won't.
Just on that comment alone, they will.
No, they won't. I am careful. I am so careful. You wonder why. I'm just gonna
play him a couple of these episodes. Are gonna be like,
yeah, you can.
For help.
You sure can. You sure can play him these episodes. Because I set it up that way. They'll listen to it. They'll go, yeah, he sounds normal. Yeah.
And then I'll play him this one to where you say you set it up so that you do sound normal. And be like, okay, we got him.
That's because I am.
Too late now.
No. I don't want to sound too far off base. I don't want to be that guy that people are wondering.
Here's the thing is you can want whatever you want, but you are who you are, and you sound far off base sometimes. Whether you like
it. No, I give people another way of looking at things.
That's just what you tell yourself.
It's just like
whatever voice tells you.
It's just
the truth.
It's just like the election. You got all these people complaining that were protesting about their vote, about their voices not being heard, and you know they thought that you know their fundamental right to vote was being tampered with on both sides, and people didn't like that, and I just like to tell them that. Now you know how people felt before 1965 when they passed the Voting Rights Act. Because none of that was protected for some people. But because you've always had that protection and you feel like, it's in jeopardy. Now you know how those people felt. I think you're getting a little taste of, you know, what it feels like when you do everything that you're supposed to do. You do it right. It's just like voting, the mail-in ballots. I maybe I'm wrong, but I think that we could have found out the results a whole lot quicker if there were people that used the mail-in ballots. People that voted for Trump because Trump said, hey, I want you to come out election day and vote for me. And what was so funny watching that, you could see the numbers when they were coming in. Now, some of these districts and communities, they voted in their community to count the in-person ballots first. So, you know, in some areas it looked like Trump was winning.
Well, yeah, the roller coaster of the things. I mean, out of the entire election, that guy on MSNBC, was it? That guy with the rolled up sleeves on the TV, and he hadn't slept for 3 days, and he's reading.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that guy's the one who turned out to be the star, in my opinion. I said that probably about halfway through. I'm like, this is what this guy's been waiting for his whole life.
Oh, man.
Killing it.
I watch him. I like watching him tell me what's going down because he looks like he is actually involved with it. He's been studying. He's been doing the math.
He's got the numbers down. Yeah. He knows how to make those predictions with logic and stuff.
Yeah, but he does it with a passion. Like, he really enjoys what he's
like
doing.
Like I said, he was waiting his whole life to do that.
Yeah, some of these other guys, you hear them, and they're just like, yeah, well, but this dude is like, okay, and this is the reason why this is working that way. That it was like watching him, and he was like, well, you know, this community, they voted to have the votes counted first, the in-person votes counted first, and then the mail-in votes last. Well, people that believed in the science, that believed in social distancing, that believed in wearing a mask, those people said, hey, you know what? I don't want to take a chance. I'm just going to fill my ballot out early, and I'll put it in the drop box, or I'll mail it in. Well, then they fucked with the mail, slowed down the mail. So
those we don't people, have to go through the whole series.
My point is, those people made sure that, hey, I'm gonna make sure my vote gets counted. And so when the election went down, you start seeing those mail-in ballots come in, and it was like, whoa. I mean, the difference, and like I said, if everybody would have done that, we would have found, we would have known solid for sure, you know, because you have a digital
deal.
And you have
future,
a hard copy.
In the future, we will then know how voting will be done, you know, and I think people have found their way that they want to do it. I still like to do it in person.
I do too.
But I not for any particular reason, just because I like to take the time to look at it now and to go in and push all the buttons.
Me and
you
know, my
one
wife.
One place I can say is that your voice will always be heard here, Friendly Frank, on the Picking Up Strangers podcast. And we're running out of time. We don't have any sponsors yet.
Oh, yeah.
But we're running out of time. Uber, Lyft, you guys want to sponsor us? Zoom, you want to sponsor us? Go for it.
You don't ask like that.
If you don't ask, you don't get, Frank.
Well, you should ask.
You've got 2 minutes. You got 2 minutes. How would you ask?
How I would ask? I would say,
Well, on that
Uber.
Note, Uber, take us out of here then, Frank.
Uber, let us, you know, give us a chance.
Nope. I like my way better.
Make us rich enough so we don't have to pay taxes.
See, folks, that's who he really is.
Uh-huh. I knew you'd smile on that one. I bet you
he's not the Robin. He's not the Robin Hood you think he is. He's
Bill
Gates.
I'm not. Man, I'm so far from Bill Gates.
Well, maybe financially, but not mentally.
So far. Have you seen that haircut?
That's what you're concerned about there.
Huh? Man, I could be Bill Gates with that haircut, man.
All right, let's get out of here. Until next time.
All right, God bless you all. If you don't believe in God, good luck. Something new. Stop.